History of the Grand Canyon Area from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. www.wikipedia.org. The known history of the Grand Canyon area stretches back 10,500 years when the first evidence for human presence in the area started. Native Americans have been living at Grand Canyon and in the area now covered by Grand Canyon National Park for at least the last 4,000 of those years. Anasazi, first as the basketmaker culture, and later as the more familiar Puebloans, developed from the desert culture as they became less nomadic and more dependent on agriculture. A similar culture, the Kohonina, also lived in the canyon area. Drought in the late 13th century was the likely cause for both cultures to move on. Other cultures followed, including the Paiutes, Serbot, and the Navajo, only to be later forced onto reservations by the United States government. Under direction by conquistador Francisco Vázquez de Coronado to find the fabled Seven Cities of Cibola, Captain García López de Cárdenas led a party of Spanish soldiers with Hopi guides to the Grand Canyon in September of 1540. Not finding what they were looking for, they left. Over 200 years passed before two Spanish priests became the second party of non-Native Americans to see the canyon. In 1869, U.S. Army Major John Wesley Powell led the Powell expeditions through the canyon on the Colorado River. This, and later study by geologists, uncovered the geology of the Grand Canyon area and helped to advance that science. In the late 19th century, there was interest in the region because of its promise of mineral resources, mainly copper and asbestos. The first pioneer settlements along the rim came in the 1880s. Early residents soon discovered that tourism was destined to be more profitable than mining, and by the turn of the century, Grand Canyon was a well-known tourist destination. Most visitors made the grueling trip from nearby towns to the South Rim by stagecoach. In 1901, the Grand Canyon Railway was opened from Williams, Arizona, to the South Rim, and the development of formal tourist facilities, especially at Grand Canyon Village, increased dramatically. The Fred Harvey Company developed many facilities at the Grand Canyon, including the luxury El Tovar Hotel on the South Rim in 1905, and Phantom Ranch in the Inner Gorge in 1922. Although first afforded federal protection in 1893 as a forest reserve, and later as a U.S. National Monument, Grand Canyon did not achieve U.S. National Park status until 1919, 3 years after the creation of the National Park Service. Today, Grand Canyon National Park receives about 5 million visitors each year, a far cry from the annual visitation of 44,173 in 1919. Section 1. Native American Inhabitation. Current archaeological evidence suggests that humans have inhabited the Grand Canyon area as far back as 4,000 years, and at least were passers through for 6,500 years before that. Radiocarbon dating of artifacts found in limestone caves in the Inner Canyon indicate ages of 3,000 to 4,000 years. In the 1930s, artifacts consisting of split-twig animal figurines were found in the Redwall limestone cliffs of the Inner Gorge that were dated in this range. These animal figurines are a few inches, 7 to 8 centimeters, in height and made primarily from twigs of willow or cottonwood. This find, along with other evidence, suggests these Inner Canyon dwellers were part of desert culture, a group of semi-nomadic, hunter-gatherer Native Americans. The basketmaker Anasazi, also called the Hestatsanam, people who lived long ago, evolved from the desert culture sometime around 500 BCE. This group inhabited the rim and Inner Canyon and survived by hunting and gathering, along with some limited agriculture. Noted for their basket-making skills, hence their name, they lived in small communal bands inside caves and circular mud structures called pit houses. Further refinement of agriculture and technology led to a more sedentary and stable lifestyle for the Anasazi starting around 500 CE. Contemporary with the flourishing of Anasazi culture, another group, called the Kohonina, lived west of the current site of Grand Canyon Village. Anasazi in the Grand Canyon area started to use stone in addition to mud and poles to erect above-ground houses, sometime around 800 CE. Thus, the Pueblo period of Anasazi culture was initiated. In summer, the Puebloans migrated from the hot inner canyon to the cooler high plateaus and reversed the journey for winter. Large granaries and multi-room pueblos survived from this period. There are around 2,000 known Anasazi archaeological sites and park boundaries. The most accessible site is Tusayan Pueblo, which was constructed sometime around 1185 and housed 30 or so people. Large numbers of dated archaeological sites indicate that the Anasazi and Kohonina flourished until about 1200 CE. Something happened 100 years after that, however, that forced both of these cultures to move away. Several lines of evidence led to a theory that climate change caused a severe drought in the region from 1276 to 1299, forcing these agriculture-dependent cultures to move on. Many Anasazi relocated to the Rio Grande and the Little Colorado River drainages, where their descendants, the Hopi, and the 19 Pueblos of New Mexico, now live. The Hopi people believed they emerged from the canyon and that their spirits rest here. For approximately 100 years, the canyon area was uninhabited by humans. Paiutes from the east and Serbot from the west were the first humans to re-establish settlements in and around the Grand Canyon. The Paiute settled the plateaus north of the Colorado River, and the Serbot built their communities south of the river, on the Coconino Plateau. Sometime in the 15th century, the Navajo, or the Diné, arrived in the area. All three cultures were stable until the United States Army moved them to Indian reservations in 1882. As part of the removal efforts that ended the Indian Wars. The Havasupai and Hualapai are descended from the Serbot and still live in the immediate area. Havasu Village, in the western part of the current park, is likely one of the oldest continuously occupied settlements in the contiguous United States. Adjacent to the eastern part of the park is the Navajo Nation, the largest reservation in the United States. Section 2. Historic Exploration. Subsection 1. The Spanish. The first documented case of Europeans seeing the Grand Canyon occurred in September of 1540. That year, Hopi guides led a group of 13 Spanish soldiers, under Captain Garcia Lopez de Cardenas, to find the fabled Seven Cities of Cibola for his superior officer, the conquistador Francisco Vázquez de Coronado. The group arrived at south rim of the Grand Canyon between Desert View and Moran Point, and saw a river below. Pablo de Milgrosa, Juan Galeras, and a third soldier descended one-third of the way into the canyon until they were forced to return because of lack of water. It is speculated that their Hopi guides must have been reluctant to lead them to the river, since they must have known routes to the canyon floor. Cardenas greatly underestimated the width of the river below to be 10 feet, 3 meters. No Europeans visited the canyon for over 200 years. Fathers Francisco Atanasio Dominguez and Silvestre Velez de Escalante were two Spanish priests who, with a group of Spanish soldiers, explored southern Utah. The group traveled along the north rim of the canyon in Glen and Marble Canyons in search of a route from Santa Fe, New Mexico to Monterey, California in 1776. Subsection 2. The Americans. James Ohio Patty and a group of American trappers and mountain men were probably the next Europeans to reach the canyon in 1826. There is little in terms of documentation to support this, however. The signing of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo in 1848 ceded the Grand Canyon region to the United States. Jules Marceau, of the Pacific Railroad Survey, made the first geologic observations of the canyon and surrounding area in 1856. Jacob Hamblin, a Mormon missionary, was sent by Brigham Young in the 1850s to locate easy river crossing sites in the canyon. Building good relations with local Native Americans and white settlers, he discovered Lee's Ferry in 1858 and Pierce Ferry, later operated by and named for Harrison Pierce, the only two sites suitable for ferry operation. George Johnson led an expedition by a Sternwheeler steamboat that reached Black Canyon in 1857. A U.S. War Department expedition led by Lieutenant Joseph Ives was launched in 1857 to investigate the area's potential for natural resources, to find railroad routes to the West Coast, and assess the feasibility of an upriver navigation route from the Gulf of California. The group traveled in a Sternwheeler steamboat named Explorer. After 2 months and 350 miles, 560 kilometers, of difficult navigation, his party reached Black Canyon some 2 months after George Johnson. In the process, the Explorer struck a rock and was abandoned. The group later traveled eastwards along the south rim of the Grand Canyon. A man of his time, Ives discounted his own impressions on the beauty of the canyon and declared it and the surrounding area as, quote, altogether valueless, end quote, remarking that his expedition would be, quote, the last party of whites to visit this profitless locality, end quote. Attached to Ives' expedition was geologist John Strong Newberry, who had a very different impression of the canyon. After returning, Newberry convinced fellow geologist John Wesley Powell that a boat run through the Grand Canyon to complete the survey would be worth the risk. Powell was a major in the United States Army and was a veteran of the American Civil War, a conflict that cost him his right forearm in the Battle of Shiloh. More than a decade after the Ives expedition, and with help from the Smithsonian Institution, Powell led the first of the Powell expeditions to explore the region and document its scientific offerings. On May 24, 1869, the group of 9 men set out from Green River Station in Wyoming down the Colorado River and through the Grand Canyon. This first expedition was poorly funded, and consequently, no photographer or graphic artist was included. While in the Canyon of Lodore, one of the group's 4 boats capsized, spilling most of their food and much of their scientific equipment into the river. This shortened the expedition to 100 days. Tired of being constantly cold, wet, and hungry, and not knowing they had already passed the worst rapids, 3 of Powell's men climbed out of the canyon in what is now called Separation Canyon. Once out of the canyon, all 3 were killed by Shivwit's band Paiutes, who thought they were miners that recently molested a female Shivwit. All those who stayed with Powell survived, and that group successfully ran most of the canyon. 2 years later, a much better-funded Powell-led party returned with redesigned boats and a chain of several supply stations along their route. This time, photographer E.O. Beeman and 17-year-old artist Frederick Dellenbaugh were included. Beeman left the group in January 1872 over a dispute with Powell, and his replacement, James Finmore, quit August that same year due to poor health, leaving boatman Jack Hillers as the official photographer. Nearly 1 ton of photographic equipment was needed on-site to process each shot. Famed painter Thomas Moran joined the expedition in the summer of 1873 after the river voyage, and thus only viewed the canyon from the rim. His 1873 painting, Chasm of the Colorado, was bought by the United States Congress in 1874 and hung in the lobby of the Senate. The Powell expeditions systematically catalogued rock formations, plants, animals, and archaeological sites. Photographs and illustrations from the Powell expeditions greatly popularized the canyonland region of the southwest United States, especially the Grand Canyon. Knowing this, Powell added increasing resources to that aspect of his expeditions. Powell later used these photographs and illustrations in his lecture tours, making him a national figure. Rights to reproduce 650 of the expedition's 1,400 stereographs were sold to help fund future Powell projects. In 1881, he became the second director of the U.S. Geological Survey. Geologist Clarence Dutton followed up on Powell's work in 1880 through 1881 with the first in-depth geological survey of the newly formed U.S. Geological Survey. Painters Thomas Moran and William Henry Holmes accompanied Dutton, who was busy drafting detailed descriptions of the area's geology. The report that resulted from the team's effort was titled A Tertiary History of the Grand Canyon District with Atlas, and was published in 1882. This, and later study by geologists, uncovered the geology of the Grand Canyon area and helped to advance that science. Both the Powell and Dutton expeditions helped to increase interest in the canyon and surrounding region. Prospectors in the 1870s and 1880s staked mining claims in the canyon. They hoped that previously discovered deposits of asbestos, copper, lead, and zinc would be profitable to mine. Access to and from this remote region, and problems getting ore out of the canyon and its rock, made the whole exercise not worth the effort. Most moved on, and some stayed to seek profit in the tourist trade. Their activities did improve pre-existing Indian trails, such as Bright Angel Trail.